Welcome to the Martial Arts and Crafts Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Deacon, life balance coach for better adulting, martial artist, instructor, creative artist, wife, mother, and all-around person. Thank you for joining me on the show as we learn together how to make an impact through personal growth, responding to challenges, making choices, and learning more about our identity, belonging, and purpose. On to the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Martial Arts and Crafts Podcast. I am your host, Sarah Deacon. It is a pleasure to be here talking into this microphone this afternoon. I want to talk about motivation today. I hear a lot of complaints in my line of work, that being a life coach for teens, young adults, and occasionally their parents. I hear a lot of complaints about teenagers' lack of motivation. So I'm going to explore that a little bit, that story, because I wonder sometimes if it's really true that teens are not motivated at all. Is it possible that they're motivated just by different things than we adults are motivated by? Now, when you have to wake up your teen in the morning, what's the usual response? Well, in my house, I have a teenager who groans, rolls over, puts his head back under the covers until he comes back 5 minutes later to make another attempt to wake him up again. And he does it again. And he stays, he stretches, he stays in bed. And I can't tell you how many times I hear, "I don't want to." Daily, weekly, I don't know. If I had a nickel, right? Maybe similar things happen in your house too. And that's just one part of the day, right? That's just to get them out of bed in the morning. What about motivating them to do chores, to find a job, to finish their homework, to practice the most basic level of personal hygiene? Now, if you have girls, it might be a different story in your house. Maybe you need to rein them in a little bit. I don't know. I have boys. So for the boys, it's, have you taken care of yourself? Why don't you run a comb through your hair just for, you know, a minute? Anyway, a lot of the time, it seems to us as parents as though our teenagers just don't care. And I often hear other parents talk about this lack of motivation. They talk about it with other parents, right? They talk about this lack of motivation in a way that puts these labels on their children, like lazy, apathetic, disengaged. They might even armchair diagnose them with depression or fear of that they have some other mental or physical disorder even. But what else could be true? Often what's actually happening with our so-called lazy teens is that they're experiencing a sort of purgatorial state. They know that they're not really children anymore. And at the same time, they're not quite ready to, you know, step out fully as adults either. Of course they're not. They're, you know, still under 18. They're still in our home. They still need those reminders and those that structure that we give them. So they have this longing. I've heard my son talk a little bit about nostalgia lately. So they have this longing for the carefree security of their childhood days while simultaneously fighting tooth and nail for their grown-up independence, for us to trust them to make their own decisions and make their own mistakes, even though they don't really want to make the mistakes that they know they're going to make. So this is mentally, physically, and emotionally exhausting, not just for our teens, but let me say, no wonder they want to sleep until noon. It's exhausting for us as parents too, is it not? So what do we do? Well, I think a lot of the stuff that comes up around this. It has to do with our perception, the way we talk about it. Like I said, the thing is, I don't think most teenagers are lazy. They're not lazy at all. They're not depressed. They're not apathetic. In fact, I believe that our teenagers care so deeply that it hurts sometimes. They just don't always care about the same things that adults care about. They don't care in the same way that we do, which sets us up as a parent for drama and power struggles. I mean, how could it not? But let me ask you this. Have you ever tried to make someone care about something? Have you ever tried to make someone care about something? About something that they're apathetic about, have no interest in, or don't really see the reason why they should care? And no matter how persuasive you are, you can't make them care until they do, right? So it doesn't work. Even if you can somehow get them to go through the motions and behave as though they care, usually you can tell when the heart just isn't in it. There's a disconnect there. There's a gap, right? You can feel it. You can see it. You can track all of those micro body language indicators that heart's not in it. They don't really care. They're doing it maybe because you care so much or because someone they care about cares. And let me say, there is time and place for that. I mean, I don't know that my teen cares whether he speaks respectfully to others or to me or not, but it matters to me. So that's when I speak up and I say, hey, look, I don't care if you don't care about having a clean room. It's important to somebody else. So do the thing. And sometimes that disconnect is just going to have to be there because you have to do the things, right? So getting our teenagers to actually care, because I think that's what a lot of us want as parents. We want our teens to care as much as we do, but we can't make them. So we end up at odds with each other. We have the ability to essentially strong arm our kids into going through those motions, even if the teen's attitude tells the story they're not actually buying into it or whatever feelings they might be feeling about it. On the surface, obviously, this means the parents get what they say they want, but yet they might not be satisfied with the results. Because the thing here, whatever the argument is about, whether it's a clean room or doing chores or caring about school or caring about hygiene or caring about family time or whatever it might be, the thing is not really the issue. That's my last SoloCast episode, I believe. The thing is not the thing. The real issue is the attitude. The real issue is that we want them to care. We want them to be motivated. And we don't know how to make them care. And so we try to get them to be motivated in whatever ways that our upbringing or our patterns or our beliefs lead us to do. Most parents say they want their child to be responsible, to be motivated, to be driven, to be passionate about something, to live their purpose. A lot of the time, though, and this might hit you, the parents don't even really know what it is they're asking for, because maybe they're not connected to their own internal drive or motivation or passion or purpose either. So we parents know, we want them to do better than we are doing. So how do we show that to them if we're not doing it ourselves for ourselves? That is sort of a sidebar to what I'm talking about. Because another piece of this is that most of the times when we ask for something, we're not really even sure what the real question is and what we're really asking for. What does a motivated teenager even look like? Does it look like the one on their phone in the bedroom all day? Does it look like the teen mowing the lawn on a Saturday afternoon? Does it look like the one up playing video games online with friends until the wee hours of the morning? What if this is exactly what motivation looks like? What does motivation look like for you? Is it being productive? Is it sitting in silence? Is it asking yourself really hard questions? Sometimes motivation looks different depending on the topic or the type of motivation. So parents, when you're asking that your teen be more motivated, what you really might be looking for is the responsible adult version of motivation, where they set their own alarms, they clean up without being asked, and they connect the dots between their actions and the consequences of those actions. I'm sorry to tell you that most teens just haven't quite mastered this kind of motivation yet. Instead, they're motivated by their ego to pursue pleasure or to avoid pain. Now, just note, many adults are motivated in the same way. Teens are motivated. They're motivated to stay in their room because they feel like every time they engage with the family, they're being asked questions they don't know the answers to, which feels threatening to their sense of identity, which is tenuous right now. So it's preferable to hide. They're motivated to mow the lawn because it means earning an allowance or the ability to buy something frivolous that they might want. They're motivated to leave their stuff laying around so they'll have easy access to it the next time they need that stuff. It's not necessarily a lack of motivation. It's more of a immature, self-serving type of motivation. And it's a stark contrast to the less egocentric, although sometimes still very egocentric, more fully functional adult type of motivation that you might be trying to teach them right now. So what can you do to encourage the kind of motivation that you want to see in your teen? The good news is that most teens are truly interested in serving a purpose beyond their own egos. They're trying to figure that out right now. Their identity, like I said, is tenuous, and they're looking for where they fit in the world, and where they fit in your family is a part of that. Where they fit at school, another part of that. If they're in sports or activities, another part of that. It's about that discovery, that trial and error, that interest in purpose. So often, when you can more clearly articulate your own expectations along with why something is important to you and your family, why it might be relevant to them and their future and who they are, what their strengths are and what you see in them or for them, you might find they get on board. And as a parent, your role is essential. It's super important to continue to be consistent, to build the habit of giving them reminders or support without stepping over and undermining their need to take ownership and their need to know that you trust them to live a life beyond what you've created for them. They want to know that they can do it. And they want to know that you have their back and that you're going to challenge them and push them. And also, you're going to be there when and if things don't work out. So I have three steps for you in this episode here that you can take to help motivate your teenager to a level above where they might be at right now. And these are tools that I continue to use, and I want to say practice in my home because I'm not perfect. I lose my temper. My teen does not always listen to me. And that's why I am in the role I am as a teen coach, because parents need the village just as much now as we did when they were babies, because they need to be surrounded by other adults who believe in them adults who believe in them when they don't have to. Like mom and dad, they kind of have to believe in their kids. So that's why they start kind of mistrusting your faith in them, your belief in them, your encouragement of them. The pride you express, the specific things you might see in them that thrill you or that excite you. They don't always believe it because they think, well, that's your job. You're supposed to love me. You're only doing it because you have to, because you're mom, because you're dad. And that's why, again, I want to reiterate, it is important to surround your teen with other adults and peers and, you know, friends, family, whatever, other people who believe in them when they don't have to, when they're not contractually obligated to do so, right? So, but as a parent, here are a couple of things. So we'll talk about the first one. Take note, verbalize your expectations. And most of us, like I was saying at the beginning, we're not even sure exactly what we're looking for, what kind of behavior is appropriate and acceptable or exceptional in our home. What does excellence look like to you? What do you expect? Make it crystal clear what you want them to do. Use the exact words, this is what I expect from you. And then describe exactly what you want to happen to the best of your ability. Maybe you're not clear until you start describing or until you say, here's what I expect. But let them know why it's important. Why it's important to you, why it's important to the family or to the teen themselves or to their community or team or school or sport or whatever it is. Ask them if they have any suggestions about how to keep themselves accountable to these expectations. Offer your own suggestions when appropriate, and then agree to what appropriate support looks like. Because maybe your teen can take the reins and do it their way. Maybe they want more reminders. Maybe they know they need more reminders, even if they don't want them. So in moments of calm and perspective, you can use that time to ask them what they need and get them starting to think about what they expect from you as their support structure. So the second piece is to verify that they understand. Make sure that your teenager heard what you wanted them to hear when you verbalized your expectations, right? Invite and address any clarifying questions they may have. Use the words, what did you hear me say? And don't let them off the hook until they give you the answer, even if it's wrong. And be okay if they repeat back something you didn't say. Use it as an opportunity not to argue. Not to dig in your heels, but to clarify and to step back and realize that sometimes they don't hear things the same way you intend to say them. And if you need to, then restate your expectations in a different way so that they can understand and repeat the process until you're both really clear about what you expect from each other. And then number three, this is a really important piece. This is the last piece, is to regulate your own emotions. And let me tell you, boys and girls, men and women, we navigate our emotional landscapes in different ways. And as the only female in a house chock full of boy and man energy, masculine energy, it is interesting to do this. So a memorable piece of advice that I refer to often is that as parents, and this came up a lot in toddlerhood with the tantrums and whatnot, as parents, it is not our job to join our children's chaos, rather to invite them into our calm. And again, many adults, we haven't been taught to regulate our emotions. We don't really know necessarily what to do when we have big feelings. So it's hard sometimes to teach our children what to do to navigate theirs. But listen, you're the adult. So you set the tone. So you got to make sure that you're intentional about your follow-up with your teens. Remind them and yourself about the expectations that you stated. Some families put things in writing, and that can work really well too. So remind about the expectations, remind them about their accountability agreements, what they said they wanted. And it's better to resolve issues that come up when your emotions are under control, because then they have less control over you. So the teenagers, they know when you're starting to be controlled by your emotions. So then they unconsciously, they don't do it on purpose usually. They know how to push your buttons even further, manipulate them to get their way, to get attention, to get a rise out of you, to get grounded. I don't know. They have all those motivations that we don't always understand. So if you control your own emotions, then your teen will be on equal footing and will not usurp control from you. You'll be less likely, if your own emotions are under control and you've done your work, you'll be less likely to take their emotions personally when they flare up, and they will. You can be that calm in their storm, right? It's that ability to invite them into your calm. Okay. Motivation can be tricky with teenagers. So if you start to practice some of the things I've talked about, that's number one, was verbalize your expectations and actually thoroughly talk them through. Say, I expect you to X. What I expect from you is, this is what I expect from you, and list the things. However you need to phrase it, verbalize your expectations, be explicit and be specific, okay? And allow them to add their own expectations, ask them what they need from you in terms of support or how to keep themselves accountable, because maybe they need you and maybe they don't. Maybe they don't know, and you can try something without it being a whole big thing, okay? Number two, verify that they understand the expectations. Make sure that they heard what you intended to say, and clarify together until you're on the same page. Put it in writing if you need to. And then the third piece is making sure you regulate your own emotions. Invite them into your calm. Don't join them in their chaos, because you're the adult and you're modeling for them how you want them to be in the world when they're adults, when they're on their own in relationship to their own kids or their own spouses or their own peers or colleagues or whoever else they encounter in the world. You are who they're looking to, even if it seems like they're not listening. Okay? They have less control. So you have to keep control as much as possible. If things flare up, by all means, take a break, walk away, regulate yourself, come back. You can always come back. You can always start over. This is not going to be all neat and tidy all the time. This is messy business. Life, relationships, raising kids, all of it is messy, messy business. So embrace it. Embrace not being perfect at it. Practice. So I hope this is a little bit of perspective on motivation for you, especially when it comes to your teenagers. The truth is, motivation can be tricky with adults too. I think that part of the reason that I hold my own children to such high standards in this area is because I too struggle to motivate myself. I want to teach them a better way. As I learn and grow, I want to show them that they don't have to stay in the same old habits and stuck with the same motivations or types of motivations or lack of motivation that they always had. It's possible to choose different and be more motivated, or motivated by different things, or motivated by more noble things, or more connected things, or more purposeful things. It's difficult to teach the lessons that we have yet to learn ourselves. And this, again, is why outside support is so, so important. So if you're looking for ways to encourage your teen's motivation or connect with it or understand it so that they can grow in their confidence and independence, reach out to me. I would love to talk to you about it. Motivation is a really interesting topic for me personally, and when it comes to the way I motivate or help support motivation in my kids, because each of them are different. Each individual is motivated by their own values, beliefs, goals, purpose, all of the things. So let's talk. You can find me at sarahdeegan.com for information about all my coaching programs. Everything is right there on the website. You can reach me through the website there or email me at sarah@sarahdeegan.com. And you can find information about my arts and crafts and the link to this podcast notes and everything like that at mymartialarts.com. You can find me on social media at Sarah Deegan Coach and at My Martial Arts N Crafts on Facebook and Instagram. I am also on Twitter and TikTok at Sarah Deegan Coach. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, I would really love it if you would leave me a 5-star review. That would be awesome. And if this helped, please share the episode with someone who you think could use it. I really appreciate it. And thank you for connecting. And I will talk to you next time.